Today we are starting and possibly even finishing, depending on how far we can get. I think we've basically stood in all of our goals so far, so hopefully we'll be able to do this also. Perek Yud Zayin is very quick, and Perek Yud Ches a little bit longer, so we're going to try to do them both today. And then that's the story of Pesel Micha. The most important question, well, one of the more important questions that have to do with these last five prakim of the Sefer is, where are they chronologically? Now, we're going to see at the end of the day that Lamaisa, the Nafka Mina, is not large. The message is still the same. Just the question is how heavy the message is. Okay? So until now, the rest of the Sefer has essentially followed a path of chronology. Now, whether they shared time and they overlapped, that was up for discussion. But on a basic level, until now, there has been a timeline. So Shimshon was the last shofet which we discussed, and now we are moving on to a part in this Jewish history in which there essentially are no shoftim. Yeah.
Do we even know if the shoftim are chronological? It seems like there's different shoftim for different regions.
Right, but meaning like generally when we, you know, even the concept of Ein Mukdam U'Meuchar B'Torah, unless there's a reason to say that it's not, right, the Ramban seems to think that...
Huh? I mean, they're all from different regions, and I think the point was things are just getting progressively worse.
So that's definitely...
After this one,
so that's definitely an approach which you can take. Let's let the psukim speak for themselves. Okay, so the question which you guys need to keep in your head is: are we following history? When are these stories happening? Try to pick up on the hints that the psukim give us. Okay. Vayhi ish mehar Ephraim ushmo Michayahu. So his name is Michayahu, and classic way that, you know, Yeshaya, sometimes they were called this, sometimes they were called that. But for sure the Yud Kei Vav is definitely some sort of godly name. People used to add those things to their name. So at least at first glance, he seems to be like a good guy. He's from Har Ephraim, right, the center of the country. Vayomer li'imo, elef u'mea ha'kesef asher lukachlach, the 1,100 shekels which were taken from you, v'atalis v'gam amart be'oznei, hine hakesev iti ani lakachtiv. So he says, there was money that was stolen from you, this 1,100 shekels, and you cursed the person whoever took the money. Amoda, it was me who took the money, so here it is. V'tomer imo baruch b'ni l'adonai. Beautiful, okay, you know what? Amazing. Meaning, not only is the klala, is she saying the klala shouldn't stick, but you're even getting a bracha, right? You're being moded. Vayashav es elef umeh hakesef le'imo. So he gives back this money. Now, why is the amount so important? Elef umeh hakesef.
Yeah, huh?
Right. Wasn't that the money that was given to the lila? So Rashi points out that this was the same amount that was given to Delilah. Some of the Mefarshim, Rashi seems to think that this is not his approach, but like, why this amount of money? So some people think that this woman was actually Delilah. So we're following that chronological path. Either way, you don't have to say that. But he gives her back the money. So she says, before you had returned the money, and before I even know that you had stolen it, she basically made some sort of shvua that whenever I find, if I find the money, I'm going to be makdish that money, right? Not to the classic hektish, but for a hektish to create a pesel umasecha, which we obviously know is avodah zara, which is the classic, which is, right? The Aseret HaDibros speak about lo taselcha pesel umatzeva umasecha. Vayashav es hakesef, go ahead. Vayashav es hakesef li'imo, he ends up giving back the money to his mother. Vatikach imo masayim kesef, vatitneinu litzareif. She takes 200 of the shekels, and she gives it to a marksman, I'm losing the word, the person who creates these psalim. V'yaseu pesel umasecha, v'yihi bebeis Michayahu. So now, this Michayahu now becomes the owner, the possessor of of this pesel. Is there an isser to just own a pesel? Right, Rashi seems to think that even just it being in your property is an isser d'oraisa. So the pasuk continues, Va'ish Micha. Right, we see the name change. Va'ish Micha. So there was 200 shekels which she made this pesel masecha. Now Micha. At first, the Mefarshim understand that he was a little bit hesitant to take it. That's why he keeps on giving the money back. I don't want the money. I don't want the money. And then she actually has to go out and give this money to a tzoreif in order for them to make it. It doesn't sound like Micha is so interested in this. However, according to the next pasuk, we see that maybe it grows on him. Vayish Micha lo beis Elohim. So he creates this house of worship. Vayase fodu trafin. And he makes this ephod and trufim like Gidon made. And he has a son and he says, you know, I'm from Ephraim. That's okay. My son, he's going to be a Kohen. So I'm going to teach him how to be a Kohen. So it sounds like he embraces this, and possibly with the rest of the money, you know, like creating a Beis Elokim is not a cheap thing, you know. You gotta make it nice. So it sounds like he embraces, just like, the irony of it is like that this whole story basically stems from a son stealing money from his mother and then the mother cursing him and then her saying that, oh, I'll really, you know, like look where the start of this story is. Meaning it's not a very good starting point and it definitely doesn't end up well. He goes ahead and not only embraces that Avodah Zarah, but he continues to make an Avodah Zarah and he makes his son a Kohen. Be'amim ha'heim, ein melech b'Yisrael. This pasuk we're going to find a number of times throughout the next few prakim. In those days, there was no king. Ish hayashar be'inav yaseh. Whatever a person wanted to do, he did. Ish hayashar be'inav, whatever he thought was straight, whatever he thought he was right, that's what they would do. Now, where does this pasuk come from? In Sefer Dvarim, Perek Yud Beis, there's a pasuk which describes getting rid of the Avodah Zarah, and that you should have a local place for korbanos, and there's an Isra of Bamos, and one of those psukim is Ishai Yashar Be'inav Yaseh, that we shouldn't be doing like Ishai Yashar Be'inav Yaseh. So the Navi obviously is trying to plug that in and saying, this is the theme of what's going on. Everyone is sort of doing whatever they want. Now, what does this sound like? Just like let's try to ask ourselves the question, chronologically, like where do we sound? Like? We sound like after the time of Shimshon, things are you know a wild west. It's really bad, right? Story continues. Vayhi nar mi beis lechem Yehuda mi mishpachat Yehuda. So there's this young lad from Beis Lechem, from a family of Yehuda, v'hu Levi, but he's also a Levi, so that means he's probably a Levi from his mother's side. V'hu Garsham, and he lives in Beis Lechem, right? Now, we know that Levim didn't have any chelek, and that was because they were supposed to be the teachers and the educators, but it also came with a challenge. If you didn't exactly fit that mold of being a teacher or an educator, and you weren't like, you know, the Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash wasn't so often, so what did you do? You were like a little bit of a nomad, right? You're like, you move here, you go there, and that's what we're going to find with this nar. Vayelach ha'ish me'ir mi'beis lechem Yehudah l'gur ba'asher yimtza. He went to go and like find maybe a new place, somewhere else. Maybe he didn't fit in Beis Lechem. Ve'avo har Ephraim ha'beis micha la'asos darko. And he's going up north towards har Ephraim, and he stops by on the way to the house of Micha. Vayomer lo Micha ma'ain tavo, so he says, where are you from? Vayomer lo Levi anochi mi'beis lechem. He identifies as a Levi. That's something that he's proud of. I'm from Beis Lechem Yehuda. V'anochi olech lagur ba'asher emtza. But although that I'm a Levi, I'm sort of trying to figure myself out. I don't know where I want to live. I want to find somewhere that they'll embrace me, somewhere that I'll feel at home, somewhere where I'll feel comfortable. It sounds like also it's possible that his parents even possibly abandoned him. Like, he doesn't feel connected to anything else. V'yomer lo Micha, so Micha says, oh, amazing. V'yomer lo Micha, shvayim adi v'yeli la'av l'chohen. Come. Micha knows that he can't trick himself. although he says that his son is a Kohen and he trains him to be a Kohen, he's not an idiot. He's not really a Kohen. But now we have this Levi. Maybe this Levi, he has some yichus to Kohanim. So maybe he'll be this person. He'll be my Kohen. Eitein lecha aseres kesef liyamim ve'erach begadim umchiasecha vayelech ha-Levi. And what does he do? He says, I'll embrace you. You come. I'll give you a job. I'll give you meaning. You can come be a Kohen in my thing. I'll give you a place to live. I'll give you clothing. I'll give you wages. And so the Levi goes ahead. Right, we still don't have the name of this Levi, and that's really going to be the Makom Patish at the end of the parak. Vayol haLevi laSheves es haIsh. So this Levi, you guys recognize that lashon? Vayol, huh? Moshe. What else? Somewhere a little bit earlier, right? By the Knani, by Avraham. Vayol haKnani laSheves baAretz. Vayol haLevi laSheves es haIsh. I'm not sure what the connection is. Vayah Nar lo keEchad miVanav. Right. It sounds like he really took him into his house. He made him part of his family, and that was something that the Levi really appreciated. So he goes and he starts serving in this house of in the house of Micha, in this house of Avodah Zarah. Now I know that this is really amazing that I have now a Levi who's serving as a Kohen. Right, sort of like, what exactly is his cheshbon? Why does he think that the Levi could do the avoda of the Kohen? We know that the Levim aren't actually involved in the avoda, right? Levi, it's usher for the Levi to go into Mizbeach, but it doesn't really matter to him. Ish hayashar be'inav, Yah said, follows this theme. So any evidence until now, exactly when do we think this is happening? On a basic level, it seems like we're sort of following the trajectory of the rest of the Sefer, is that things get worse and worse as time goes on. Yeah.
Right.
It means beyond the fact. Now, when we get to Malchus, we'll speak about what the connection between Malchus and the Beis Hamikdash is, and so on and so forth. But on a simple level, it means that because there's no melech, because there's no national leader, everyone can do whatever they'd like.
But right? Did they refer to, like, they referred to them as shoftim prior to this?
Although they were shoftim, right, so I think that's exactly, remember, when the Navi is writing this book, what is he trying to do? He's trying to highlight certain things. And possibly, and for sure over here, what he's trying to highlight is the reason that we're getting to such lows is because we don't have that central leadership. Because we have shoftim. And it sounds like even over here, there are no shoftim. Or it could be that there's shoftim, but there's shoftim in other areas. Okay? So that's the Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Okay. Pasuk Perek Yudches. B'yamim ahem Ein Melech B'Yisrael. Once again, and emphasizing that nekuda. U'b'yamim ahem Shevet Hadani Mevakesh Lo Nachala LaSheves. Kilona flalo ad hayom hahu betoch shivtei Yisrael benachal. So what's going on over here? Dan is searching for their nachala, and the pasuk says why? Because they weren't able to inherit the nachala that was given to them ad hayom hahu. So there's two ways of reading this pasuk, and this is already where we get to the chunk of the evidence. Which is going to be a large nafkamina when this is happening. Simply, we related to this in Sefer Yehoshua. If we look back at Perek Yud Ches in Sefer Yehoshua, in other places, we see that Dan was supposed to live where? Where was Dan supposed to live? On the coast, on the west coast, on the Mediterranean. However, they weren't able to succeed, so they went up north. Okay? So if we understand that Yehoshua, what happened in Yehoshua already happened before, so that was in the times of Yehoshua, in the times of the Kibush. So that means that this story is happening in the times of Yehoshua, or possibly in the time that Rashi, according to Seder Olam Rabbah, it happens in the times of Otniel ben Knaz, right, the second Shofet. Now, let's take that knowledge just for a second and just be blown away by that message. How is it possible? We were told clearly by the Navi that so long as Yehoshua lived, and the shoftim that came afterwards, they served Hashem. So how is it possible that we're living in such a reality that there's this base micha? So that's going to be the side, which is basically going to say, I can't believe that this story is happening, right? Can't believe that this story is happening all the way back then. However, there's another way to read this pasuk, and I think it's a diuk. I didn't see that the Rishonim were medayik like this, but it says ki lo nafla lo ad hayom hahu. It sounds like possibly, right? We already saw by Shimshon. Shimshon was living not up north. So what we suggested back then was that some of Dan went up and some of Dan stayed down low in their original Nachla. They didn't have enough space or whatever it is. So it could be that Ad Hayom Ahu means that the Navi is actually pointing out that they're still dealing with this issue 300 years down the line. But it's very difficult to say that. It's very difficult that then why did they put it in Sefer Yehoshua? Was it just because we were speaking about all the Nachlas, so they just sort of stuck it in there? That's why a chunk, and I would say 90% of the Rishonim and Baal Seder Olam Rabba explain that this story of Pesel Micha is actually happening in the beginning of the Tekufa of the Shoftim. Now that's very, very difficult, right? The implications of that means that right under Yehoshua's nose, there's a place in Har Ephraim which they made a Beis Avodah Zarah. That's really crazy, and the question that we're going to have to ask according to that approach is then why are we told about this at the end of the story? And that's already going to connect to what Ezra suggested, is that there's a trajectory of the story, and in order to go out of the way to point out that trajectory, we're going to break chronology just to show you how bad things got. Because if you showed that story in the beginning, it was like, wow, this story is really bad. Okay, but let's continue looking for evidence. The Radak is one of the only Rishonim that actually understands that it happens much later in the times of between Shimshon and Eli. He thinks that there's no Shoftim between the entire Tekufa of Shimshon and Eli, and it's total chaos. Okay, but the Radak is going to have a few issues, obviously the biggest one being this. Okay, all right, let's continue. Vayishlechu b'nei Dan mishpachotam. Chamisha anashim miktzotam anashim b'nei chayal mitzirah u'mishta'ol. So they send people from Tzara and Eshta'ol, which is in the Nachla of Yehuda. Why are they living in the Nachla of Yehuda? Because they still don't have a Nachla. L'ragelas ha'aretz l'chakra. So they send people up north to find out what's going on over there. V'yomar lehem l'chu chikruas ha'aretz v'avo har Ephraim ad beis micha v'yalidu sham. On their way up, they pass through Har Ephraim. And Kanira Beis Micha was not only a Beis Elokim, but it was also some sort of inn, right? And Har Ephraim was on the way up north, so they stopped there as well. Hema in Beis Micha, Vehema Hikiru, Eskol Hanar Halevi. For some reason, they recognized the voice of this Levi. Now, how do they recognize the voice of the Levi?
Accent.
So either it's like that, the Mitsudo says that they understand the dialect is from Beis Lechem Yehuda, and they're from Yehuda. So the dialect's a little bit different. Maybe he speaks a little bit different than the other Ephraim people. Yeah, what?
Aren't the Levim really good at singing?
The Levim are also, could be that they're good at singing. Yeah, what else?
Imagine you're saying he's Moshe's grandson, so he probably sounded like Moshe.
Okay, it could be. Could be. But let's. I think the most basic understanding is because they're from Yehuda, it could be that they cross paths. Or even a more simple understanding is that not that they know him or that they recognize his dialect, but they just asked him, like, where are you from? And in the next pasuk it says, right? Vermelom mi heviyacha halom, right? V'yasur sham v'yomerlo mi heviyacha halom. Like, why are you, what is a Levi doing here in Har Ephraim involved in this Avodah Zarah? Ma ata oseh bazeh u'malacha po. Like, what are you doing here? Vayomer aleihem kazo v'chaze. I think it's also the accent. Vayomer aleihem kazo v'chaze. Right? He says, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, I was looking for a place to live, and I have a nice job here, and they're paying me, and I have good wages. Kazo v'chaze aseli micha. Vayiskereini ve'yeli lo l'choin. Like, I'm a Kohen. This is amazing. So what would a normal reaction be from Dan, from the B'nai Dan? Burn this place down.
Right.
We're in Tkufa of Yehoshua. Avodah Zarah, are you serious? But that's not what we hear. That's not what we hear. Vayomer lo sha'al na ba'Elohim. Go ahead, ask your God. Find out. Let us know whether our journey is going to be successful or not. V'nida hatatziach darkino asher anachnu olchim aleha. So, although you would expect you're not a Kohen, and this is a house of Avodah Zarah, but no, they embrace that. They're okay with that.
Shouldn't that suggest that it's right? Clear?
So the Radak would say, just everything in this story is telling us, hello, it can't be then. V'yomalem HaKohen lechu l'shalom, nochach Adonai darkechem asher tilchu ba. Right, he does his moji hoji, and what does he say? He says, God says everything's going to be okay.
Another verse is HaKohen.
Huh?
That's crazy.
V'yomalem HaKohen, yeah. Calls him there's a lot of different Kohanim, right? Yisro is also called a Kohen. Now, what's his answer? His answer is, yeah, obviously, go ahead and you're going to be successful. Why would he say, you know, you don't get paid if like you give like bad answers. So you give good answers. Okay, go ahead, you're going to be successful. So they come up to this area called Laish at the top in the north of Israel. The nation there is sitting quietly. Kimishpat Sidonim, they're from the Sidonim, which also live actually closer to the west coast. However, the pasuk says, "Shokate uvoteach ve'in machlim davar beretz yoreish etzer ruchokim heimem et Sidonim v'davar ein lehem imadam." Sounds like there's this like peaceful sort of town or a peaceful sort of city. Don't really have allies. They're a little bit far off from the Sidonim. There's not so much a connection between them and others. So this is like amazing. You know, we don't have to go out to war with all the Sidonim. We could just attack these people. They come back home to Yehuda. So what'd you hear? What'd you see? Mamish, the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. Haaretz hazot tova meod meod, right? This is it's a beautiful land. Va'atem machshim al te'altzu, don't sit around anymore. Don't be lazy. Let's go. La'leches lavo l'reshes es haaretz. They speak in a form of almost like of like, yeah, we're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael. What are you saying? You're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael? How'd you go to conquer Eretz Yisrael? You went and you served Avodah Zarah. There was something very perverted about these peoples. Right, concept of Avodas Hashem, and I think it just gives us even like a little bit more of an insight as to like how off we are from understanding what Avodah Zarah is and what that taiva is, because it doesn't make any sense to us that they could be doing these two things. Okay, we're gonna pick up the pace a little bit. Kinas Elohim biyadchem makom asher insha machzor kol davar asher baaretz. Everything is there. You have no issues. Just go there. Six 600 soldiers. Okay, not that many soldiers. It sounds like it's more of like a town. Could be a town with a lot of area, a lot of land. Kiryat Yarim, maybe we'll discuss that pasuk a little bit later, but anyways, they stop on the way by Kiryat Yarim, which is not far from me. V'avrumi sham har Ephraim, v'avo ad beis micha. They go ahead and they pass through beis micha again. V'anu chameshan anashim ha'olchim l'ragel asaretz l'yayish. V'yom ralachayim, hayadatim ki yesh b'batim ha'ila efod u'trafim u'pesel u'masecha v'atar tu'du ma'atasu. The people say, like, do you know what you're sitting right under? There's a beis avodah zarah here, there's trafim. There's a coin. I'll tell you what you should do. So they go and they speak to this Levi. They say, hey, what's going on? You know, you remember we're from Yehuda. You remember the whole thing? And he has the whole posse standing behind him. Like, we're friends, but like, understand what's going on right behind me. Asher mibnei, done. These five spies come. They take the entire base of Odezarah. And this lady, this Nebuch guy, is like sitting there. He's like, what am I supposed to do? Like, what are you doing? They take everything. Like, what are you doing? This isn't yours. Shut up. Be quiet. Close your mouth. Put your hand over your mouth. Come along with us. You could also be our Kohen. Hatov hayotcha Kohen levis ish echad, or hayotcha Kohen leshevet ulemishpacha biYisrael. Like, we'll pay you more. Where it's more mechubad, you can come be a Kohen by us. Okay. Now this guy's a Nebuch. You know, like he's trying to figure out where. Vayitav leiva Kohen vayikasa yifur v'satrafim v'satasso v'avo b'ker va'am. So he goes off, running off with him. Vayifnu vayelechu. Sorry, we're running so fast. And they, because they're going so fast, they continue to run away. They bring all of their family in front of them. Why do they do that? Because they know that at some point people are going to start chasing after them. They come, they run after them. Beis Micha. Vayikrau b'nei Dan v'yasivu b'neihem. V'yomer lo Micha, malacha ki nizakta. So they look back at Micha and they say, like, what do you want from us? What do you want from us? You took everything that I have, my Kohen, my Avodah Zarah. And like, what are you saying? What are you looking for? What do you need? They say, once again, be quiet. Save your family. Don't say another word, because another word comes out of your mouth and you're done. Goes home. Do I have permission to go like 3 or 4 more minutes over? Okay?
7 or 8.
All right. So they understand that they're totally outnumbered, so they leave them behind. These peaceful Nebuch people that they didn't even offer peace to. They destroy the entire city. They burn the city down. It sounds like Dan is like filled with these people. They're Mari Nefesh. They steal, they kill, they... whatever they want. Ve'in matzil ki rechok ahim itzidon ve'davar ein lahem im adam ve'hi be'emek asher davesh rechov ve'ivnu esayir ve'yishuva. Meaning, it's so interesting that like we're told about like that they don't have any allies, and like that what is the psukim trying to say? The psukim are trying to say like these people were mamish, like harmless, and they were harmless, but the Bnei Dan came and they burnt the city down, right? I think this is like one of the only places in Tanakh where we see like almost like a rachmanis on these non-Jews. It's a rachmanis. Vayikru shem ha'ir Dan b'shem Dan avihem. Obviously, we're going to call it Dan, like our grandzady. Asher yulad li Yisrael v'ulam layish shem ha'ir l'rishana. But it was originally called Layish. Vayikimu lahem b'nei Dan es ha'pasel. V'yonasan ben Gershon ben Menashe. Hu v'nav hayu kohanim l'shevet hadani ad yom gelos har. So now we're finally told what the name of this Kohen is. What's the name of this Levi? His name is Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe. So all the Mefarshim point out, who is this Yonasan ben Gershom ben Menashe? If you take out the nun of the name, who do you have? Yonasan ben Gershom ben Moshe. 98% of the Mefarshim understand that this is the grandson. This Levi is the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Wait, what, the way that the nun is written in Menashe
is above. So the Midrashim say, why is it lifted up? It's lifted up to give cover to Moshe Rabbeinu. To give cover to Moshe Rabbeinu. But first of all, what evidence does this give us? This gives us evidence that what are we talking about? We're talking about just a generation or two after Moshe. So it has to be in the beginning of Yahushua. That's really a death kill to the Radak. But come on. How can we be talking about the grandson of Moshe Rabbeinu?
Why would he be so lost?
So lost.
Isn't there a medrash? I remember someone actually told me it, like
it's that Gersh that his Moshe children went off the Derech.
That he'll make a descendant to go to Zara.
Right. So that's possibly, definitely part of what's going on over here. However, I just want to point out one more thing, and we'll read this last pasuk. It says, "Hayu koanim l'shivet hadani ad yom gelos haaretz." Gelos haaretz. When is that? What is that? Yeah. Gelos haaretz. Does that mean that the entire time until the Churban? That means David HaMelech was king, Shlomo HaMelech was king, and there was Galosa Aretz, there was Beis Micha, Peso Micha, all the way up in Dan. Is that what it could be? The Mefarshim say it can't be. Ad Galosa Aretz probably means when Shiloh was destroyed, which is happening, right, a little bit later. But either way, this is it's so shocking. How can we get to such a place where the entire Shevet, the Shevet comes, they steal, they kill, they burn. They're involved in these avodah zaras. Ve'asimu lahem es pesel micha asher asa kol yemei heyos beis Elohim b'shilo. All of the days of Shiloh. Now, if you say that this happened all the way in the beginning, that means this pesel is around for the entire tkufa of Shiloh. That means 362 years while the Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, this entire tkufa, there's this Pesel Micha. So although there were Shoftim that came and they did tshuva and they did all of these things, there's a Pesel Micha in Dan. Or the Radak understands that no, it what does it mean by a single line is Pesel Micha, Shirasa Koyime He Yos Beisel and Bishilo? Radak has a little bit a harder time understanding this Pasuk. And also he has a harder time understanding the Golos Haaretz. The reason why I said that there's no nafkamina between the chronology, the message is the same. The message is the same because either you say that it's so bad that it already started by Yahushua, or you say, look how bad things got. But the message stays the same. So if you say that it was like Yahushua, the reason why the Sefer, the Navi went out of its way to change the chronology was to show us how bad things got. Peace, Pesel Micha. All right, Yemir Tzeshem, we'll pick this up tomorrow.